أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. As all of you are aware of, the tragic incident that happened last week in Oregon, where we had a teenage boy who committed the horrendous crime of murdering his mother and his father, and then after that going to the high school and subsequently murdering two other innocent youth. This represents the sixth act of random violence in the last year, where we have a youngster killing other youngsters for no apparent reason. And it goes according to the prophetic tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that has been collected by Imam Muslim in the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah said, alayhi salatu wassalam, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يَدْرِي الْقَاتِلْ فِي أَيِّ شَيْءٍ قَتَلَ وَلَا يَدْرِي الْمَقْتُولِ فِي أَيِّ شَيْءٍ قُتِلَ. Verily the time is going to come to the people. I swear by the one whose hand my soul is in his hands, meaning Allah Ta'ala. The time is going to come to you people where the person is going to commit a murder. And the murderer, he won't know what's the reason why he committed the murder. And the one who was murdered, when he's murdered, he's not going to know what was the reason that he was murdered for. When they caught the boy from Oregon and they asked him, why did you do such a deed? He said, I don't know. This action and the actions of the other five young people who committed those murders in the last 6 years or in the last year, it goes to show us, brothers and sisters, that the youth of America, they have a lot of problems. And when we talk about the youth of America, we have to realize that the Muslim youth, that they are inclusive of the youth of America. And not only that, but the youth of the Muslims in Florida, they have some problems that are peculiar to them. Because if you were to make yourself aware of the statement and the statistics that these people are putting together after studying, what does it mean to live in Florida? From the statistics that they have found that affect our youth and the youth here in Florida is that Florida is the state in which the majority of the child molestation crimes occur in Florida. Florida is the state in which the majority of the deaths that take place to children at the hands of grown-ups, it takes place in the state of Florida. I'm sure you all heard this past week of the man who had a child, and he didn't want to pay child support to the child's mother. So he was working in the hospital, he took a needle and he injected the HIV virus into his baby because he was a deadbeat child. He was a deadbeat father, he didn't want to pay child support, so now the child has full-blown AIDS. The majority of the children who are killed in America, that takes place here in Florida. Since we are embarking upon the summer months, upon the vacation, you need to understand that Florida is the third leading state in accidents where children are killed riding bicycles. So as you put your children out on the streets of Florida, you should take in mind and take into consideration that even though Florida has a lot of benefits in living here, it's also dangerous for our children. Now as a community, as parents, mothers and fathers, it becomes our responsibility to do something about setting a course of action where we're going to look out for our children, whether it's in the months of their vacation or outside of those months. This is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam. It doesn't become difficult on the Muslim to look inside of the authentic hadith to find how many times the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took time out in order to pay attention to the youth and their problems. We have people like Mu'az ibn Jabal, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, Usam ibn Zayd, Zayd ibn Thabit. We can give you a list of companions who were young, whose incidents occurred between them and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that clearly illustrate to us he used to take the time out for these children, for these younger people. In the authentic hadith, Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he said he was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet asked him a tremendous question that we need to take a lesson from it and ask those children who we're responsible for the same question. He said, Ya Mu'adh, أتدري ما حق الله على العباد وما حق العباد على الله؟ قال الله ورسوله أعلم. Allah and His Messenger know best. He says, فإن حق الله على العباد أن يعبدوه ولا يشركوا به شيئا. وحق العباد على الله أن لا يعذب من لا يشرك به شيئا. Hey Muaz, do you know what the right of Allah is over His servants? And do you know what the right that the servants have over Allah? Mu'adh, being a person who was taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wouldn't give his opinion based upon his intellect. He didn't know the answer, so he said, Allah and His Messenger know best. He said, the right of Allah over His servants is that they should worship Him alone, and that they should not commit any shirk with them. And the right that they have over Allah is, if they do not make shirk with Him, that He shouldn't punish them, that He won't punish them. So now the Muslim man, he looks at this hadith and he sees how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the time out to teach this young man the importance of the tawheed. So he takes his son and he sits his son down at the beginning of the vacation. And he says, this vacation is not designed for you to go out there and to lose your mind, so that I get a telephone call to come down to the police station to get you for stealing, because you were stealing and you got caught at one of these amusement parks. We don't want to have to go down to the morgue to have to identify our dead child because we allow them not to understand that this ijazah or this vacation should be designed so that they can take the time out to get close to Allah, to learn more about al-Islam, to learn more about the Quran, to learn more about the Sunnah, to memorize the Quran. That's the job and the obligation of every parent. Every parent who has sense in his mind. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was approached by another young companion. And look, if this companion said this, and he was feeling what you're about to hear, what about our teenage son? That companion and the companions are the best of the human beings after the Prophet and the messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. You fathers and mothers of teenage boys and girls, listen to what this young man said. Ya Rasulullah, idhin li fi an azniya. Oh, Messenger of Allah, give me permission to make zina. I don't want to make zina. I'm praying, I'm trying to do what's right, but I'm young and my shahwa is too big. My desires are too big. And he said that when he was living in Medina, where the women were dressing properly. What about the son who's in this society, where the women are naked? Ya Rasulullah, give me the permission to go and make zina. You are the Messenger of Allah. You can make dua for me after that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked this young man, would you like someone to do that with your mother? He said, wallahi no. Would you like someone to do that with your sister? Wallahi no. Would you like someone to have zina with your aunt? He said, wallahi no. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, كَذَلِكَ النَّاسِ لَا يُحِبُّونَهُ لِأُمَّهَاتِهِمْ وَلَا لِأَخَوَاتِهِمْ وَلَا لِخَالَاتِهِمْ. He said, and also the people don't love that. No one likes for his mother to be made zina with, or his sister or his aunt. He touched the boy in his breast, and he made dua for him. The boy said, I started fasting after that, and this desire went away from me. So now the Muslim, he looks at this hadith, and he says, it is incumbent upon me as a father to stop sticking my head in the sand, thinking that my child is like some angel, or I'm not aware of how my child's life is. So as a result of that, I don't know what he's doing when he leaves the house. I don't know what he's doing when he's coming home every day at 5 and 6 o'clock and school is over 2:30 or 3 o'clock. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam was sitting at the Safa, was a big eating place in his wife's house, Umm Salama. Umm Salama was married to a man by the name of Abu Salama radiallahu anhuma. Two tremendous companions. Abu Salama died. His wife Umm Salama left behind with all these children. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married her after his companion died. She had a son from her husband by the name of Umar. Umar, the son of Abu Salama radiallahu anhu. The boy was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam eating. And his hand was going all over the plate. Eating from here, eating from there, without any etiquette. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the young boy, Ya Ghulam, سَمِّ اللَّهِ وَقُلْ بِيَمِينِكَ وَقُلْ مِمَا يَلِيكَ. Oh young boy, before you start eating, say Bismillah. And then when you start to eat, eat with your right hand. And then eat from what is in front of you. Don't have your hand going all over the plate. I am the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as if he said. If you were to go, young boy, Umar, if you were to go to the house of one of my companions, and they were to see how you eat, they would say, look at this little boy. He's growing up in the house of prophecy, but he doesn't have any etiquette. Similarly, Ikhwan, some of our children, when they go to the principal's office, when the principal calls you at home, they're saying about your child, look at the behavior of this child. This is a clear indication that he's not getting any training at home. So each and every one of us should feel it is our responsibility and it is our duty that your child, your boy, when he goes out of the house, he has to have this lesson in his mind and in his heart. When you leave this house, you represent me. When people look at you and they see me in your actions. So the question that naturally presents itself to you fathers, how can you expect for your son to represent you in a positive light in front of the people when you don't represent your father in a positive light? Your father is a hard-working, honest man who prays. A hard-working, honest man who doesn't commit zina. A hard-working, honest man who takes care of his wife and his family members. He doesn't run around with women from the street. He didn't teach you those things that you're doing. So how is it that you're going to request from your son represent you and you don't represent your father? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brothers and sisters, told us in yet another authentic hadith that's been collected by our Imam, Al-Imam Muslim, the Imam of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. On the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this tremendous hadith, مَا مِن مَوْلُودٍ إِلَّا وَيُولِدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ فَأَبَوَاهُ يُحَوِّدَانِي أَوْ يُنَفِّرَانِي أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِي حَتَّى يُعْرِبَ عَنْهُ لِسَانُهُ. There is not a child that is born except that that child is born on the fitrah, the natural disposition to say La ilaha illallah, the natural inclination to not steal, kill, have zina. Every child, if left alone, he's going to respect those who are older. Every child, if he's left alone, he's going to have an inclination to do unto others as they do unto him. But his mother and father either make him a Jew, a Christian, or a Magian until his tongue begins to speak. Meaning, until he becomes of age and he can make his own decisions and he becomes responsible for his actions. This hadith, brothers and sisters in Islam, is a tremendous hadith because it shows us that you and me, as parents, we can have a positive or negative impact upon the fitrah of our child. It is your duty and your responsibility to foster and to nourish and to develop and to maintain this positive fitrah, which is a test and a trial from Allah. Naturally, the child is going to be mischievous. Children are like that. But the inhiraf, the deviancy of killing your mother and your father, nah. Just yesterday, a child in Chicago became upset with some schoolmates. He went to the school to kill four girls and to take another one hostage. They caught him before he got there. When is the nonsense going to stop in America? All of those children are acting based upon what their society and environment has created for them. their environment made them the Jew and the Christian and the killers and the murderers that they are. Now, I say unto you, if we want to maintain the fitra of these children, if you indeed want to protect your child, then no doubt, the number one lesson that you need to teach your children is the proper aqidah in al-Islam. The proper understanding of a tawheed or the oneness of Allah. What is that child's relationship to Allah and with Allah? Why has that child been created? Let him understand that and you will see that you will have a child who excels in his academics. You will have a child who is afraid of committing zina, of running around with a boy who's not halal for her. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in an authentic hadith that's been collected by Al-Imam Abu Dawood, rahimahullahu ta'ala, on the authority of his uncle Abbas, Abu Muttalib, Ibn Abi Muttalib, Ibn Abdul Muttalib. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تزال أمتي على الفطرة ما لم يؤخر المغرب إلى اشتباك النجوم. My ummah will not cease to be upon the fitra. This community will continue to be upon the fitra as long as they do not delay the Salatul Maghrib to the time that the stars come together. Meaning what? To the time that Salatul Isha comes in. So we understand from that hadith what? We understand, brothers and sisters, that the prayer, if it is left alone, it is one of the ways that the fitra will be contaminated. Here in this hadith, he said, as long as they don't delay Maghrib to Isha, but they're still going to pray Maghrib. As long as they don't delay the Maghrib to the Isha, they will be on the fitra. What about the person who leaves the salat altogether? His fitra is going to be polluted and contaminated. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya ikhwan, order your children, boys and girls, to make the prayer when they are 7, and hit them when they don't make it when they're 10. How many of the ayats of the Quran, how many of the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allows a Muslim to hit another Muslim? There are only a few, and this is one of them. To the point that al-Islam has allowed you to chastise your 10-year-old child if he doesn't make the salat, that shows us the importance of the prayer in al-Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us and for you. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى الثَّبَاتِ وَالتَّوْفِيقِ. يا شيخ انزل انزل ولا تحبش تعمل مشاكل يا شيخ. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. The Prophet told us, brothers, in a very important hadith, لا تزول قدم ابن آدم يوم القيامة عند ربه عز وجل حتى يسأل عن خمس عن عمره فيما أفنى وعن شبابه فيما أبلى. He said that the sons of Adam, every last one of us, شيخ اتق الله وانزل يا أخي اتق الله وانزل تمسك هذا الرجل. The son of Adam, his feet will not move from in front of Allah يوم القيامة. Imagine this picture here. You're standing in front of Allah with all of the creation looking at you. Naked, barefooted, and uncircumcised, as Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us we're going to be raised up. Naked, barefooted, and uncircumcised. When He said that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our mother Aisha, a woman who knew the importance of a woman covering herself and what Islam said about her covering herself, she said, Ya Rasulullah, wa awratinat, what about the nakedness of the people? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they won't be concerned about that, Ya Aisha. You won't be worrying about your nakedness on that day because of the seriousness of standing before Allah. So before the son of Adam or the daughter of Adam goes to the hellfire or to the paradise, their feet will not move. They're going to stand there and they're going to be asked by the Lord of all the world about five things. They're going to be asked about their age. You're 45, 50, 60, 25, whatever your age is, that age that you die upon, your lifespan, your lifetime, you're going to be asked about that life that Allah gave you, that amana, that trust. Did you smoke reefer? Did you smoke cigarettes? Did you overeat? Did you take this trust and not take care of it? You're going to be asked about it. And then he's going to be asked about his youth when he was young. How did he spend his youth? What did he do? That hadith shows us, brothers and sisters, the importance of taking these children in this type of ijazah or vacation so that our children won't come and we won't be responsible as well for not being able to answer, or we'll answer Allah on that day by saying, "Oh Allah, he spent his youth going to wet and wild. He spent his youth going to Planet Hollywood. He spent his youth praying and not worrying about what he was really created for." What is going to be the answer? That hadith is too important. So now, the Muslim needs to understand, now that we embark upon this vacation, it is imperative that all of us as parents, we sit down with these children and we say, this is the minhaj for the summer. This is the methodology and this is the mazhab of the summer. This is what we're going to do. And we're going to give our children free reign to express themselves and to grow. But we're going to make it an opportunity for them to get closer to Allah first and foremost. So now, in the month of summer, the shahwa of our teenage sons and our teenage daughters is almost busting at the seams. I've traveled all over America and there's not a single community that I went to except that the youth of the Muslims, the teenagers, the girl who's a Muslim whose name may be Fatima or Rashida. وَلَكِنَّهَا لَيْسَتْ بِرَشِيدَةً. Her name is Rashida, but she has a Kafir boyfriend. Rejects her Islam to be with the boyfriend. So their shahwa is going to be bubbling in these months. The people come here, they're naked. So the man who wants to take his child to wet and wild, he's asking for trouble. The man who's looking for those types of avenues to allow his child to express himself, he's looking for trouble. And we have to understand, Ikhwan, that the shahwa or the desire of the human being in and of itself is not a negative thing. The desire that a man has for the woman is not a negative thing. Allah who created us planted in us this shahwa. And there are fawa'id or benefits from the shahwa. From the benefits of the desires is, if a man didn't have a desire, we weren't created like this, we wouldn't have children. There would be no need to have any children. When the man divorces his wife, she has to do her iddah. She has to wait 3 cycles for her period to come and go. 3 cycles, almost 90 days. 70, 80, 90 days. And she has to stay in her husband's house. Now the man, if he has a relationship with her, during that time, if it's the first or the second time, he can take his wife back. So what happens when the man is in the house with his wife? So many days go by, his desires start making him incline towards his wife, so he takes her back. So Islam shows us that the shahwa, the desires, it has some benefit in it. But the problem with the shahwa, just like everything else, is when it's allowed to go untamed, when it's allowed to go untrained. To sit your child down on the TV and to educate him to that, this is the problem. So we have to take time and care to be sure to watch how our children are spending their time. And one of the biggest ways that our children are being corrupted is through the computer. Through the computer. They get on the internet and they go into one of those chat rooms. And on the chat room, not only do they waste their time, but they get all kind of deviant ideas sent to them. The man is a Shiite on the chat room. And he starts to give ideas that are not from Al-Islam. Or pornography in the computer. No, we have to take the time out to look and to make the ishraf or the supervision of what our children are giving themselves to. So based upon all of this, what I've said today, brothers and sisters in Al-Islam, two things I want to mention. This summer, you people need to come up with some ideas as to what we can do to take our children and to have them to do some wholesome Islamic activities. Some people have been planning to take our children on some field trips. We need chaperones to participate, not to mention we need resources and we need your children. So those of you who are interested in bringing your children, we want you to bring your ideas, your resources, and your children, and yourselves, so that you can be a chaperone for those Muslims. Also, this summer, next week, insha'Allah ta'ala, is going to be the day where we're going to have the open house, so that everyone who wants to, they can come and get a bird's eye view of the school that's going to be implementing. Enroll your children in the Islamic summer school, wherever it may be, so that they can spend some time with the Muslims over the summer. The other thing that we want to mention is this bookstore, which is called the Sunnah the Better, the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Sunnah, you go in there and you start purchasing the books, the Sunnah your children are going to benefit. We have a series of books about the family. Who is the righteous wife in Al-Islam? It's in there. Buy the book for your daughter, buy the book for your wife. Quran and Sunnah, stories of the Prophet, like the Prophet of Al-Islam, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, a tremendous book that you can sit down with your children, go over it, study it, discuss it, and based upon that, inshallah, get them to become inquisitive about what Al-Islam is saying. There's a new sign that's up now, brothers, and that sign, I don't know if you people have seen it yet, and we mentioned this to some of the brothers before, and that is the sign which comes in a triangular form, in a triangle. And that sign, it says, Death Child. It's like a stop sign. Death Child. This sign, if you have a child who is deaf, you can go and get an ordinance from City Hall, get this sign and put it on your street, so that if someone is driving on your street, just as he sees the stop sign and he pays attention, when he sees that sign in your neighborhood, he takes heed that there may be a child who at any moment would dart out in front of you in the car so that you can pay attention. Now, whoever came up with that pup, with that idea, to go down to City Hall, to get a sign like that, shows that they have some serious commitment to their child. Some serious commitment to their child. They don't allow City Hall to intimidate them. They don't allow the fact that they have to work to intimidate them. This is for my child. There's nothing that's more precious than my children. Nothing that's more precious than your children. So therefore, it makes sense that we, more than anyone, make those types of commitments. So buy the books, brothers and sisters, the tape. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us and easy for you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His greatest name to give us the good in this life and the good in the next life, and to establish us firmly upon the siratul mustaqim, and to make us on the heart of one man. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى التَّوْفِيقَ وَالسَّدَادَ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. Before we begin the mukammil to what was already presented, I would just like to make a few clarifications. When we were giving you brothers some of those statistics that came from the Orlando Center, you know, that newspaper, we weren't given those statistics so that a person would hear about these statistics and he says, oh, Orlando, Florida is not a good state to be in. So that if someone hears this khutbah, we don't want them to think that your child is in danger if you come to Orlando. But these are the statistics that those people put together. Another important statistic that I forgot to mention was that Florida is the state that has the highest number of people or children who die as a result of drowning, especially in the summertime. And trust me, I was almost a recipient of this fitna. And in Orlando, you find on the news every summer, all summer long, children who fall into the pool, who go into those lakes, and they drown. So we're saying this because we don't want to be like these other masajid who are talking to the people about things that are not relevant to their lives. The khutbah has to be relative to the lives of the people, so therefore we want you brothers and sisters as well to take into consideration that it's part of the rights of our children over us to protect them from falling into the swimming pools that many of us have in our home. As for Florida itself, we invite people to come to Florida. Alhamdulillah, we have a lot of people in Florida. A lot of people have come already. As a matter of fact, if you look at those other states in America, when the other people are suffering from those extremities and the cold, we here in Florida, in the middle of the winter time, like November, December, and January, and February, we're coming to the masjid for Fajr in white clothes and sandals with no socks on. So that's a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Saeed used to visit me at my place. Muhammad from Mombasa used to visit me at my place. My children used to say, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. I used to tell them, go over there and get an orange off the tree. People have orange trees in their backyard. You can't have that type of ni'mah in other places across America. So there are definitely a lot of benefits of being in this place, Florida. We want to continue by mentioning the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that was mentioned today, that's been collected by Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullahu ta'ala, another Imam of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, aqidatan wa minhajan wa ta'leeman wa ta'leefan wa ibadatan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تَزُولُ قَدَمَا إِبْنِ آدَمْ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ عَزَّ وَالْجَلْ حَتَّى يُسْأَلَ عَنْ خَمْسًا عَنْ أُمْرِهِ فِيمَا أَثْنَاهُ وَعَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِيمَا أَبْلَاهُ وَعَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَهُ وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقَهُ وَمَاذَا عَمِلَ فِيمَا عَلِمَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the 2 feet of the servant will not move Yawm al-Qiyamah from in front of Allah until he asks about 5 things. The first thing is his age, his lifespan, and how did he spend it. And the second thing is his youth, and how did he spend and what did he do in his youth. Before moving on, this is not part of the hadith, this is part of the explanation. You know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us, سَبَعَةٌ يُذِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ذِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ذِلْ إِلَّا ذِلُّهُ وَذَكَرَ مِنْهُمْ شَاب نَشَأَ فِي طَاعِةِ اللَّهِ. He said that there will be 7 people who will be shaded in Allah's shade when there will be no more shade except the shade of Allah. One of those 7 people is the young man who spent his time and he grew up in the obedience of Allah. And that shade of Allah Ta'ala is the real shade, and we don't make ta'wil, and we don't make any tahrif of the meaning of that. The third thing that he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you will be asked about after your youth, and how you spent your youth, he will be asked about his money. Where did he get it from? That's 3. And how did he spend it? 4. So his money includes 2 things. He will be asked, where did you get your falus from? And number 4, how did you spend that falus? Did you get it from the haram? Did you get it from the shubahat? And how did you spend it? Did you spend it, fi sabilillah, on the masjid, on the sadaqah al-jariyah, the sadaqah that is continuous? Did you spend it upon your family? Did you waste it? And the 5th thing he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that he will be asked about his knowledge. And what did he work with it? How did he spend it? How did he deal with what he knew? That hadith is in At-Tirmidhi, and those are the 5 things. Sometimes we won't mention a whole hadith because we only want the point of proof or the wajh al-istidlal, the thing that we're looking for, so we won't mention the whole hadith. So if that ever happens, someone bring it to my attention, because there may be people who want to know what are the other things, because the people are thirsty to know about the words and the statements of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other issue is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said every child is born upon the fitrah. Who narrated that hadith? Anybody know? We said that Abu Huraira narrated the hadith radiallahu anhu. And that hadith is located, who collected it? Who did we mention? Al-Imam Muslim, our Imam, the Imam of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. In this hadith, every single child is born upon the fitrah. And his mother and his father either make him a Jew, a Christian, a Magian, makes him a Zaniya, makes him a Qatil, makes him a person who doesn't pray, makes him a criminal, makes him a murderer, makes him a one who devours riba, one who is untrustworthy, a liar, and so forth and so on. This hadith shows us again that the parents are responsible for the inhiraf or the istiqamah of the child. Now the question that the deviant people put forth concerning this hadith is, if this is true what you're saying, then that means that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam is responsible for the inhiraf or the deviance of his son who was moved to kill his brother because of his jealousy and his envy. How would we respond to that? Since the child is born upon the fitrah, this child went astray and he killed his brother. So therefore, based upon this hadith, Adam was responsible for his son being astray and deviating from the Sirat al-Mustaqim and committing that tremendous crime of murder. How would we answer that, Akhi Luqman? Muhammad from Mombasa, Kenya. Sheikh Abdullah. How would you answer that? Now, Dhulqarnain. So therefore Adam alayhi salam is not responsible. Anybody want to add on to that? Abu Dawood? Now, yes, that's right in line with what he said. When he becomes of age, now my father is not responsible for him. Saeed, add on to it. What do you think? It's not so hard, ikhwan. Antum salafiyun. You heard the ulama talk about this. You heard that the ulama said that the prophets and the messengers don't commit major crimes. This would be a crime on Adam's part, alayhi salatu wasalam, to have neglected his child. Now you know that the ulama, they told you about this. Just as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said to that woman when he said that Allah has, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam has cursed the one who plucks out her eyebrow in the Quran. The lady said, Allah didn't say that in the Quran. I never read that in the Quran. He said, go back and read the Quran. She went back and read the Quran. She didn't find an ayah. She was looking for an ayah to say that the person who plucks the eye is cursed. She didn't find it. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said to her, haven't you read the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. What the Prophet gives you, take it. And what he prohibits you from, then leave it alone. She said, yeah, I read that ayah. He said, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has cursed the lady who plucks out her eyebrow. So you did hear the ulama say that it's impossible for Adam to be responsible for his son's inhiraf. Why? Because the Prophet and the messengers are not guilty of major crime, major sin. And it would be a crime and a sin for Adam to have neglected his son. Now,
and the one who forgives is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the authentic hadith that every time a person commits murder, that the punishment goes back to Adam's son. because he was the one who admitted committed murder. So if what they were saying was true, it would go back to Adam instead of him. If it was his mistake instead of Adam.
How did Diggy get say? That's real good on him. MashaAllah. Now, that's a clear proof that Adam doesn't have any reward in that evil. Also, on top of that, Ikhwan, is that we have in the Quran, like in Surah Al-Tahrim, and this is what I was hoping that someone would have came up with, and you all know this information, not like it's something new to you. In Surah Al-Tahrim, in ayat number 10, Allah Ta'ala said, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا اِمْرَأَةَ نُوحٍ وَامْرَأَةَ لُوطٍ كَانَتَا تَحْتَ عَبْدَيْنِ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا صَالِحَيْنِ فَخَانَتَاهُمَا فَلَمْ يُغْنِيَ عَنْهُمَا مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا وَقِيلَ ادْخُلَا النَّارَ مَعَ الدَّاخِلِينَ. Allah gives you the example of, Allah gives you a method, an example, a parable to those who disbelieve. He gives you the parable of the wife of Noah and the wife of Lot, or Lut. Both of them were under two of our servants who were righteous. But they khanatahu. What is khiyana? When someone gives you a trust, they act treacherously. The ayah went on to say, and it did not benefit them anything, them being connected to those two prophets. It will be said to them, enter into the hellfire with those who are entering into the hellfire. And then the next ayah went on to say, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِمْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ إِذْ قَالَتْ رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. And Allah gives a parable to those people who believe, the wife of Fir'aun, when she said, oh my Lord, build for me a house in paradise and save me from Fir'aun and his actions and save me from the oppressive people. So this ayah in the Quran, the first one, is a parable for those who disbelieve, who may have relatives who are righteous people, but the righteousness of the relative doesn't benefit them anything. Like Noah being righteous and Lot being righteous, alayhim as-salatu wa-salam, but it doesn't benefit their wives, and it doesn't benefit Noah's son. And then the parable for those people who believe is that the parable of the wife of Fir'aun, Asiya, alayhi as-salatu wa-salam, who was under that tremendous oppressive man who the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was born as a kafir. Now, now, that's another clear proof to show that Adam, the responsibility is no longer over his head. وَلَا يَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَةٌ أُخْرَى. No one will be held accountable to carry the burden or bear the burden of someone else. And this is why another one of those clear reasons we reject that God so forever loved the earth or the world that he sent his unique son. That nonsense. We don't believe that. How is Isa alayhi salam first of all going to be the son of Allah? And second of all, how is he going to be responsible for the sins and the crimes of the homosexuals and the murderers and the thieves and the tawaghit and these other people? It's impossible. But this argument of theirs, it reminds me again of this book that I think we should go over. The book of the Sheikh Rabi' al-Madkhali, who is one of the premier scholars in Medina, a scholar of hadith. And not only is he a scholar of al-hadith, but he is what the scholars used to say in the past about people who are on the sunnah. They used to say that he is an imam in the sunnah. He is an imam in the sunnah. They'll say, for an example, al-imam Ahmed is an imam in fiqh. And he is an imam in hadith. And he is an imam in al-wara. And he is an imam in the taqwa or ibadah. And he is an imam in the sunnah. He's on the sunnah and the minhaj in the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sheikh Rabi' no doubt is an imam of the sunnah. And he even surpasses the Sheikh Nasiruddin al-Albani sometimes when it comes to defending the sunnah. I have not seen anyone defend the sunnah in the dunya outright, making a muwajaha or confrontation directly with the mubtadiya like Sheikh Rabi al-Madkhali. He has a book, many books, in which he refutes the claims of the other people and the adilla that they use, like this dalil today. He has a book called The Minhaj of Ahl Sunnah, The Minhaj of Ahl Sunnah, when it comes to criticizing people and books. And he dealt with, this is an extremely important book, that if we don't do anything else, we should go over some of the arguments, to acquaint ourselves with some of the arguments. One of the new qa'idas, or one of the new principles that the people of bid'ah, like the Ikhwan Muslimin, have come up with, is that when they saw that the Salafiyun were a group of people who, you can't just come in their presence and say anything, except that they're going to criticize you and deal with your scholastic minhaj. So, when those people found that this is the case with the Salafi people, the ulama and the tulab al-ilm, they started making these camouflaged principles, right, they used to say. If you're going to criticize someone, like the Jamaat al-Tabligh, yes, they have some evil and shortcoming in them, but if you're going to criticize them, you should also speak favorably about the good that they do. Look how many people they bring back to al-Islam. Look how many people they get into the masjid. Look how many people grow their beard as a result of them. Look how many people do this. Look how many people do that. No, we say all out, you should warn against the Jamaat al-Tabligh. All out, you should warn against the Ikhwan al-Muslimin. They say, oh, look what the Ikhwan al-Muslimin did. They actually organized the people, and now in the university they have the NSA, and ISNA did that, and this student organization did this and that, and we're about to vote now, and all the people are going to vote for this Palestinian man to be the councilman. This is a good thing. Look what he did to your ward and that ward. So they say if you're going to criticize someone, you should also bring at the same time his good deeds and talk about his good deeds. And they use some strange proofs. And the sheikh, he brings those proofs. And I wanted to acquaint you brothers with some of those proofs, because this statement about the hadith of Adam as well, this hadith of the child being born upon the fitrah, is similar to that. So that's what we wanted to present today. And continuing what was said, maybe you guys have some comments, or you have something that you want to say, inshallah, you can feel free now to ask your question or make any comments that you want. Naam, Saeed.
Earlier I said that on the day of judgment, some people will be under the state of Allah.
Naam.
I read somewhere where it says explained that it's going to be the state of the throne of Allah. Is there now reason that there's a throne of Allah also?
Sheikh Nasir al-Din al-Albani brings a narration under the shade of the throne. And that's what we have to believe. Another respected, beloved Sheikh of ours in the Khalid in Najd, he said the shade of Allah meant his rahmah. And that's ta'wil. Allah Ta'ala has a hand, he has a hand. Don't tell us it's his ni'mah or his rahmah. And that's why we say Ahlul Hadith, they are the fuqaha, they are the ulama, because they can take all of the narrations, or the turuq. The tariqah is one, tariq. The turuq is the plural. You can't take one hadith and that's it. Ayatul munafiq thalatha. The sign of the munafiq is three. Idha haddatha kadaba. If he speaks, he lies. Wa idha tumina khana. And if he's entrusted with something, he acts treacherously. وَإِذَا خَاسَمَ فَجْرَ. And if he has an argument with you, he speaks and he uses foul language. That's one hadith. Says that it's three ayahs. Three times. Another man comes and he says, لَا يَا أَخِي. The Prophet did say that, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but the sign of the munafiq is four. He knows the other narration where the Prophet added something else. And what was it? Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When he promises, he breaks it. That's good, Akhi Zulkarnain. Answer me, Ahlul Hadith. So if the people of the knowledge of the Hadith, who acquaint themselves with the ziyada or the added narrations and the added statements. And this is why Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he used to say, we would not decide the meaning of a hadith until we gathered all of its chain of narration, all of its different ways that it comes. And then that's when it becomes clear to you what it is, and so forth and so on. Now, MashaAllah, Fasim, your beard is beautiful. It's just that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did tell us to take away from our mustache, but Imam Malik said, the man who takes all of the mustache away to where the skin is showing, he should be hit. So the hadith, you can't understand that you can take a lot away, but you should leave it so that you can still see some of the mustache. Those Hanafis, they take away all of their mustache. Afallahu anna wa anna. Walakin, that beard, Akhi, mashallah, it's a pleasure being involved in the growing process of you brothers. Wallahi. How Brother Basim came from the American Muslim Mission with the Muslim American spokesman for human salvation. And Allah Ta'ala guided him to the Dawah of Salafiyah. And wallahi, it's a beautiful thing. The answer to that question, Akhi, is there is no set rule if you just hear Sufyan. You have to look at who's saying Sufyan. And his minhaj may be, anytime he just says Sufyan, he meant Ibn Uyayna. And then the other person, anytime he says Sufyan, you know from his book, through Al-Istiqra. What is Al-Istiqra? Tawheed Al-Uluhiyya, wa Tawheed Al-Rububiyya, wa Tawheed Al-Asma'i wa Sifat. Where is that in the Quran? How does the ulama break that down and divide it like that? Through Al-Istiqra. What is it? That's Al-Imam Al-Hakim's book and Mustadrak. Yeah, what does it mean? Al-Istiqra. The only way you can know what he's talking about is through Istiqra. Al-Istiqra, again, I tell you, is when you read the whole thing. And then reading the whole thing, you know this is his minhaj. I read his book from cover to cover. He always says Sufyan, and I found the only one he meant was Sufyan ibn Uyayna. So through his istiqra, I know his minhaj. You understand? That's one way. That you have to know who's saying it. The other thing is, you have to know who the sheikh is that Sufyan is taken from, or who the sheikh is that Sufyan is given to. Sometimes it has to be Uyayna, sometimes it has to be Sa'id ibn Masruq al-Thawri. Sufyan ibn Sa'id ibn Masruq al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala. And al-Thawri is a nice name too for one of you brothers if you want a nickname, a lakab, from the word thawr. You know what a thawr is? A bull. A big, strong bull. So he's Sufyan al-Thawri. SubhanAllah.